We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back in front of the net, broken up and cleared away, and Buffalo coming back 2-on-1, maybe 3-on-1. Pominville walking in, shooting, scores! Pominville, top shelf where Mama hides the cookies, and Buffalo gets on the board!
February 19th, 2013, sorry. Lindy's last game. Pominville scores the only goal. How about that goal horn? Sounded great.
It was okay. A little short, wasn't it? Did we play the full clip? I think you cut it off. I want to see how long he held the horn.
Well, Jeremy was allowing time for the fan roar to get up before pushing that button to get the goal.
Yeah, I like the roar before horn, obviously.
Was there a little delay there before the horn
just
went on?
Just a bit.
Play it back one more time real quick. I wasn't paying attention to the time.
Back in front of the net, broken up and cleared away, and Buffalo coming back 2-on-1, maybe 3-on-1. Pominville walking in, shooting, scores! Pominville, top shelf for Mama.
Gotta get that roar.
It was a long delay.
I like roar before horn. You gotta let the people shout it out.
Hey, so I had a question for you. So you've been on the air here since when?
2001? Yeah.
Okay. Lindy was like, holy crap.
Yeah.
What is, in your time here, the biggest holy crap Buffalo sports moment for you? Didn't have to be on the air.
Yeah, right.
Just since you were here.
The most unbelievable thing.
Like something happened, you found out, whether it was during the show or you're at home and your phone goes off and you go, holy bleep. Is Lindy number one? I'm trying to think about it too, because I've been here the whole time, but I could be, like I said, could be a good thing.
It's a good question.
No other coach getting fired. None of the Bills coaches, none of the GMs getting fired, right? Nothing would have stacked up to that. I mean, Donahoe got fired. Everybody got fired.
Even though that was shocking, it was only shocking because he was a coach for so long. It was certainly a conversation that had been had about.
But it was still Lindy.
It was still like, wow. Yeah.
Like they really fired Lindy. Ted Nolan coming back, as much fun as we make of that in the Ted Nolan game.
Yeah. I mean, that was
shocking.
That was shocking, but it was. What's the most shocking Buffalo sports moment in the last 20 years, is what you're asking?
Right.
Hmm.
I mean, it could be.
I mean, there were surprises. Mario Williams was a 2-day surprise, but
yeah.
What's the, like, I'm trying to think of the times where we would have been sitting here or something comes across and you think that Adam Schefter's been hacked. Like, no, that can't be right. There's
right.
No way that's
like
true.
Like, if we were doing the show and someone tweeted out, that's why I made the joke about the check mark. If we were doing the show and someone tweeted, hey, the Sabres have fired Lindy Ruff, I would try and make sure it wasn't a fake account that tweeted that.
Right.
Out.
Boy, what are the candidates? I'll check the text line. People want to text in some answers that they can think of.
The biggest holy bleep moment.
Yeah, the most shocked you've been by the Buffalo sports
thing, as I said,
in 20 years.
Now, it could be a good thing. Now, I don't know if you consider like the Dalton touchdown pass, like that moment when you realize the drought's over.
We've got a lot of texts coming in. Terrell Owens.
Oh, Terrell Owens signing here. I was out at dinner and didn't believe that when I was told.
I think if you remember where you were.
I was out at dinner with family. We went to a party for someone at a restaurant. So like 12 people hang out at this table, right? I don't even know how I found out, but maybe someone texted me or who knows. But I found out during the party, was on my phone and went, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like big enough that you'd be like,
holy cow.
Holy.
Like, is that real?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in Columbus. There was a UFC event that a couple of buddies I went to, and it was a Friday night or Saturday when that announcement came down about T.O., it's probably the right answer. Terrell Owens. That was.
Right. Okay. Because Lindy had been talking. You could tell things weren't going well and he'd been there a long time. And it was shocking because it was Lindy and because he had been here as long as he was, but not necessarily, oh my God, they fired Lindy. You just thought, wait a minute, it's Lindy. Like maybe you thought Lindy wasn't fireable. Okay. I can't.
Worth mentioning.
There's no other, a trade.
Mm-hmm. Another one worth mentioning.
Not Ryan O'Reilly.
No, we told people for months that was going to happen.
when they traded for Ryan O'Reilly?
No, they traded him away.
No, I was thinking about because it was there were two
trades. Last offseason for the Bills.
Last offseason for the Bills. Oh, my God. This is my brain is just falling apart.
It also fell apart and didn't happen.
Oh, Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown was. No, these people are hacked. No way did they.
I got to be honest with you. Two things on that are funny.
It didn't last long enough. Like it was.
People called us, and I might have cut listeners off, callers off, who suggested trading for Antonio Brown because I just thought, there's no way they're going to do that. There's no. These guys talk about getting players who get along with the cleaning staff in the building. Like they want guys who are like really good football players, but good citizens. There's no way. When people call, I wouldn't even like. You're crazy. Hang up, sir. Don't ever call the station again. Mm-hmm. Clearly, you're on alcohol. You stop. Put down the crack pipe. And then when the story came out that they were considering it, I actually started thinking. Let me just apologize now for the thoughts that I had. Yeah, sure, bring him in. I'm pretty sure I said at the time, great, go get him. If the Bills are okay with all the off-the-field stuff and the Facebook Live and the locker room and all the stuff that happened and walking out on his team, all right, the Bills are okay with it, I'm okay with it, go get him. Well, thank God they didn't go get Antonio Brown because look what happened with him.
The texter says the T.O. was definitely a Saturday afternoon.
Was it an afternoon? I don't know. We were out at a meal.
Well, it could have been early afternoon, maybe 4 o'clock.
Yeah,
He says, I called my dad to tell him he was taking a nap. He hung up on me and told me to stop messing around.
Don't call me with fake news. All right, fake news didn't exist back then.
The LeSean McCoy trade is a pretty big one.
Okay.
Marone quitting has been texted in.
You know what? That's a good one. New Year's Eve, right?
Yep, New Year's Eve.
Opting out.
Marone quits.
Like that's a really good one. You know what? I would put that over T.O. for me. And I'd probably even put that over Lindy, just from like, what?
He actually did it.
Marone quitting.
He actually quit.
That's really good. Whoever texted that in, I love that one. Because, well, first off, it made my New Year's Eve, because I was not a fan. And I didn't see it coming, though, right? You know, because the ownership change had taken place, so there was going to be stability. The team wasn't going anywhere. And, you know, I mean, they had won. Was that the year? Did he finish 9-7 that year? Was that the year they beat New England in the didn't mean anything for them game?
Yes.
So I thought
it was Kyle Orton because their coach quit, the quarterback retired.
I really did not see Marone opting out, even though I think we knew that clause was in his contract. That's a great one. I'm at home in my basement, and I don't even know how I found out. I assume Twitter.
How about I got another one?
Holy what? Marone quit?
Peterman starts.
Yeah, but
I mean, shocking.
Yeah.
See, we got a couple that are talking about games, like ending the drought. We're not talking about in a game. It's news. News that blows you away.
Yeah, that's why I wasn't sure about the Dalton play and
you're
everything.
You're surprised that a play happened.
You find out about some item and you're like, what? No, somebody tweeted about Fred Jackson being released. Nope, not shocking. Maybe weren't happy about it, but I mean, you hear something, you're like, you can't believe this is true. Antonio Brown's a real good one, but I love the Marone opting out. That was stunning.
One that kind of sent us into a flurry, and this one was a little bit more recently, was when Eric Wood was forced to retire because of his injury, because it was the report where it's like one Bills player is unfortunately going to have to retire, and then we went on a flurry of just like, who is it?
Right.
And we couldn't figure it out, and finally when it was Eric Wood, it was like, oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah. Wow, that's good. That's I'm gonna go. Oh boy, Marone and Antonio Brown are those are really, really good answers.
Yeah.
Okay, that was good. That's fun. I'm glad we got a lot of responses because I can't remember all this stuff.
Yeah. Right. Interesting. What's the next big news?
Boy, Sabres trade for Connor McDavid on Monday, we are going to be changing this topic fast.
How about when Sammy Watkins got traded? When Anquan Boldin retired?
Sammy
Vontae Davis retired?
Sammy's a decent discussion because did Sammy and Darby go on the same day? Or was it?
Yes.
Was it the same day?
Yes.
There was like multiple moves. You're like, whoa, 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 whoa. What the heck is going on around here? But again, to the level of, you know, this is the Ted Nolan game. And does something seem crazier than the Ted Nolan, you know, than Ted Nolan coming back to coach the Sabres again? The Sammy and Darby trades, like, really? Really? They traded Sammy? What are they doing? But that's not they're talking to Antonio Brown, trying to acquire him. And I still don't think it's as shocking as Marrone walking out on this team on New Year's Eve, whatever, right? Wasn't it New Year's Eve that he did that? I think. Do you remember if it was a New Year's Eve thing, Marrone?
Yes, it was, okay. For sure.
I don't know why I just thought of the game in Columbus and the tank season, but anyway. Maybe like two nights I was really celebrating hard. I'm not a drinker, but when Marrone opted out and the Sabres clinched the tank, I had to go celebrate.
You had a couple of pops.
I had a couple of pops. Yeah. A couple of wobbly pops. Is that what the boys at Instigators call them?
Yes, it is.
Wobbly pops, yeah.
When's the next big one? Not the kind of thing you can predict as we're talking about, the big surprises, but...
Drury and Briere leaving?
Was Bylsma Murray... Bylsma Murray was a surprise, but... I mean, Bylsma was not a surprise. Murray was a bit of a surprise.
But his name had been mentioned as a candidate, right? I mean, we knew he'd interviewed for the...
Getting fired.
Oh, I thought you meant about hiring
Bylsma,
those guys.
No, getting fired. That was the birth of the super secret Saber source who told me it's a day of reckoning down there. And then those two got fired.
I think Murray for me. Now, I wouldn't have been necessarily... I mean, Bylsma's 2 years were not good. If I recall, I'm trying to think back my reaction at the time. It would have been more surprised about Murray because you would think the GM would get it. Usually, right, the GM gets a little more time than a coach. A coach gets fired first. A GM has a second coach. Some GMs maybe get a third coach. A GM gets a little more time typically than a head coach to try and turn things around. So the Murray part would have surprised me, not necessarily the Bylsma part. Yeah, we get more tweets about the news that both Briere and Drury were leaving. That was not a fun day, yeah.
Adam writes in about during the NHL lockout, that Eklund guy had everyone convinced it was ending, and then it didn't.
We haven't brought his name up in years. We actually, he's probably busy this time of year, right? He's into the hockey trade rumors and all that stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
You mean making up them?
Well, whatever. It was him and who was the other guy we used to bring up? It's a Hockey Insider. Was that the guy, the person on Twitter? Was Hockey Insider?
Hockey Insider with like
multiple
three R's.
Yeah. Yeah, at the end. And I stopped. I mean, I haven't followed these guys in years, so I have no idea if any of their stuff is actually borne out to be true more often than not. I have no idea. Anyway, 803-0550 to join us, 888-552-550. Hanging out this morning, talking a little bit about the hockey team, talking a little bit of football with Greg Olsen signing with Seattle and John Beilein. Any thoughts on that, the John Beilein story? Not shocking, I guess, because we had a lead up to this. The news had come out over the weekend that the Cavaliers and John Beilein were talking about him leaving, and it eventually turns out that he does. So he steps down. Any thoughts on him not surviving a season in Cleveland?
Nah. Okay. I heard this morning on the way in that it wasn't the right fit. He's too much of a teacher, and he didn't fit. The Cavs have to fix their culture. So it was like a bingo board of what didn't go right. But I guess he wanted to teach more. A lot of those players
didn't want any part of
that. Had been used to.
Yeah, he probably had more of a collegiate approach to them, and maybe that rubbed the guys the wrong way in the pros. They also talked about, he went into the thing that when that actually that was also a holy crap, really? Beilein got the Cavs job? I remember when the news broke, it broke during our show. I was really surprised that he left Michigan and that he went to the NBA because he was such a good college coach. But I guess the one thing I was always worried about with him taking that job was it's not a good job. It was not a good job when he took it. It's still not a good job. They're one of the worst teams in the league. They've got a long way to go to get back. And I just thought, boy, you built up all the success in college, and I guess, you wanted to scratch the NBA itch before maybe you wouldn't have had any more chances after this. But I was worried about him taking that because I didn't think they were going to win for a while. And they didn't. They were bad. He rubbed some guys the wrong way. There was that whole incident where he said thugs, but he meant slugs, and that probably rubbed guys the wrong way.
Yep.
And I know they talked about personal issues going on in his life with his son stepping down, dealing with Patrick dealing with the personal issue that caused him to step down at Niagara. So maybe that all came together. But hopefully he gets back. He's 67, so he doesn't need to retire, and hopefully he'll get back in the college ranks. I would like to see him coach again. He's an excellent college coach, and I would think if he puts word out there that he's ready to come back next season, that he would get some folks calling him in the offseason and offering him a job because he's extremely good at college basketball. He could have stayed at Michigan for the rest of his life, I'm sure, and won a whole bunch of basketball games there. What else is new?
I have an idea to run by you. You want, it kind of feels like it's the season of let's try out weird ideas.
That's the XFL impacting everybody. XFL, and Major League Baseball.
And Major League Baseball.
Playoff expansion. And
the All-Star Game and the Elam ending.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was thinking about the NFL draft.
The target was 7 last night, apparently, in Ottawa.
Yeah, right, the target goals. Yeah. I was thinking about the NFL draft and about timing of all this. You know, Joe Burrow got me thinking about the NFL draft. They put it on. It's a big event. It's a one-night event. What if the NFL decided, you know what we're going to do this year? When's the NFL draft? It's April.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's all of April.
Excuse me?
One team picks one player each day of
the
first round.
Me. Oh, you are
April 1st is the first
me.
Pick.
Oh.
April 2nd is the second pick.
Wait, we need it. We need April to be a little bit bigger. There's 32 teams
we'll
in 30
go,
days.
We'll go two in a day, okay. May then.
Oh, we're really living those days.
You know, 32
one
teams.
One pick a day, you're killing
we'll do
me.
A slow draft.
Oh, you they slow
do,
draft.
We do a slow draft.
And it's unannounced, too, just randomly throughout the day. It's just like 7:18 in the morning. Oh, first-round pick's been made.
They have a deadline. They have to make their pick by 5 p.m. Eastern time each day.
Oh, it's not even like announced on like a TV special that night.
24 hours coverage on NFL
wow.
Network
oh,
for
God.
A month.
Oh,
tell me it's a bad idea.
Someone take a poker and put it in my eye.
Tell me it's a bad idea.
It's a we terrible
would,
idea.
We would begin here. We're like, know, all we right, Burrow's off the
we
board.
We
spend think
the whole
Chase
day,
Young goes today.
Right? We would spend an hour talking about what, okay, now what are the Lions doing at 3?
Imagine and how mad we would get, though.
If there's a trade, is the trade announced one day and then the pick the next day, or is the pick announced the same day as the trade?
It's just like the draft.
Here's
you go
pick.
To the podium and you make your
we
pick
have a trade.
Before 5 p.m. on that day.
One a
24
day?
Hours on the clock.
I would... My head would explode from all the analysis into each pick.
Imagine, though. Well, it's April 11th. I mean, the Bills pick in about a week and a half, but the board's shaping up really nicely.
Right. The Bills pick in a week and a half.
Yeah, right. We're getting closer.
I like how things are falling
imagine
so
trading
far.
Up. How exciting would that be? Well, the Bills are picking today? This is great.
Actually, I'd be all for trading
up. The entire show then would be Howard picks the Bills.
I would be all for them trading up. To avoid, what are we talking? Where are they? 22. So April 22nd, in your world, the Bills are picking
April
on
22nd.
April 22nd.
Yeah. Tell me it's bad. Again, what day is the draft right now?
April 23rd,
see,
I think.
They're picking earlier. Boom,
yeah,
I just moved the draft up for us.
Right. Well, this would have been good, you know, 2 years ago when they moved up to get Josh Allen.
Well, consider what happens between April 1st and April 23rd right now. A gajillion mock drafts.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of character assassination. A lot of people saying, you can't draft that guy. Instead, we just remove that, and it would be the draft starts April 1st, and it lasts a month.
Can Kuiper talk that much on one night about one pick?
I mean, he'd probably be prime time, right? He'd work from 3 to 7 every day.
Because you know ESPN and NFL Network would have to be running hours of coverage
think
about one
of
pick.
The ratings.
Okay, that's a good question. I'm going to guess I would tune in every night
every
to find
night.
Out what's going on. So that's why, Brayton, see, it can't be just randomly announced in the course of the day. You'd still want a televised special every night at, well, let's see, we got to make sure the West Coast people get home from work, right? So every night at like 8:30. You would have the NFL draft, pick one. And then tomorrow night, 8:30, pick two. And you would have it,
I mean,
right? You'd do it at night, so everybody would be tuning
maybe
in.
Maybe it's an hour of coverage that night, NFL Network.
Sure.
It's from 6 to 7,
you'd,
or
you'd
7
have,
to 8.
Well, you'd want preview time leading up to the pick. You could still get some thoughts in on the previous night's selection. And then you'd have the pick itself, and then you'd have to analyze the pick every which way, from Thursday, and then you could spend time previewing the next night's selection.
See, here's my thought process with this.
Oh my God,
if you make it like just
this.
The randomness, like during the day, or it's just like you're waiting for like the announcement of the Pope. It's just like, who's the new Pope? You see, like the white smoke, then it turns black
then,
or whatever, and it's just like, oh,
yeah.
The pick's been made. The pick's been made. What is it? And then you're sitting there eagerly waiting for
it's,
it, and
it's,
then
it's the black smoke until the pick is made, and then
it's
white.
Yes, then
smoke.
It's white.
Yeah.
You subscribe to the NFL draft, and when the pick
oh,
is made,
man.
Your phone goes off with it. Then. Dun, 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 dun. And you've got to get to the NFL Network within 20 minutes.
Oh, I don't get it on my phone. Like, I couldn't see Roger Goodell walking to the podium on my phone.
It's only going to work if we're making money for the league. Ugh. They got to sign up for this to make money.
Wow.
The slow draft.
I'm going to say...
No? You don't like it?
I do not want to drag the... So...
How about over a week?
What do you do with rounds
two
through seven?
We already do it over 4 days.
What do you do, three days? What do you do with rounds 2 through 7?
That you just kick and do all one day. It's only for the first round.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All the rest
and
is
then
in one day.
The rest of the draft just happens. These scouts might not want to be in the room
full
month.
Can you imagine? Like, I'm trying to think, with all that time for everybody to be on the clock, would there be more trades? Would there be less trades? How does this impact? Are the GMs, like, are teams, like, pulling their hair out? Like, are they would be overthinking the draft in their war room so much.
Well, would you, or would you think?
You'd have 24 hours to think about what the Bengals are doing, and then you'd wait, okay, now what's the next team doing?
I think
and then
that means you have 3 weeks of vacation because you're not going to do
anything.
These
guys would not be on
vacation. Every morning you wake up, you look at the big board and think, nah, we're fine.
I feel like teams would be running a new mock draft every single day in their facility, like doing their own version of a mock draft and doing one every single day just to keep up
I feel
with
like
things.
You wouldn't run any.
Would you have more trades? You got a lot more time for GMs to think.
You got a month.
That's what I'm saying. That there's too much time for GMs to think. I think that would be a dangerous situation for those guys.
I've got a stat of the day for you if you are interested.
By the way, you're not doing this with the NHL draft or the NBA draft. You're just doing this with the NFL draft?
No, this is the only draft that people really, really, really care about.
Yeah, right.
NHL stat of the day. I'm just verifying that this is true because I saw a tweet from an Oilers fan. And, division. Yeah, so Edmonton and Vegas are tied atop the Pacific Division.
Okay.
They would be in seventh in the Metropolitan. How about that?
Yeah, that's... I didn't
realize 70
that
points
bad.
Leads the Pacific. 72 is sixth place in the Metropolitan.
Thank you very much, Pacific Division.
The Sabres, if they were in the Pacific, would be 7 points back and of third and 8 points out of the lead. The Sabres are 8 points out of the lead in the Pacific.
So they're all just packed tight together. See, I thought they'd be closer to third in the Pacific.
The top five teams in the Pacific are separated by 2 points.
Great race.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
We can't have a year like that where it's just kind of a bad division. We'll stay in it because of that.
It's the old Southeast Division of, with Carolina, Washington, and all of those teams in it.
Yeah. Back to the slow draft.
Man, I don't even...
Jason writes in, Aaron Rodgers has been sitting in the green room for 3 weeks. You got to stay.
No, you can't.
You got to stay. You can't leave.
Wow. You would not have anybody in the green room, right?
Everyone's pitching a tent at that point.
No, you can't, right? There would be no players invited to come to the draft. Here's another thing, too, that you didn't think of, Mr. Fancy Ideas guy. So the draft, the draft then would stay. You know, they're moving it around different cities. It would just stay in that same city for 30 days? Would it be just...
It really wouldn't be
a location. You wouldn't even take
location.
It to a city anymore.
Yeah,
you
it would be a location-based
You'd have
event.
To run it, you know, basically you have all the teams at, what, NFL headquarters in New York. You would have no fans involved. You would just run it out of the headquarters.
You fly the NFL crew to the war room of that team.
Ooh, and you would do the show from their facility that
sure,
night?
Sure, why not?
But if they make a trade...
Well, you better get on the move.
And have a really fast plane. 803-0550.
No trades to the West Coast, guys.
Yeah, right? Imagine us. What the heck would we... 30 days of talking about
I'll try to think
next
of
in the draft.
More ridiculous ideas like this each of the next 10 days to get
good.
Us through February.
I like that. It's funny just to think about it, but I'm trying to think of what this show would be like every morning coming in having had one pick made the night before.
Might be exciting.
All right, man. Today, everything you wanted to know about the Lions and the third pick in the draft. All right. Grab a line and join us. Hey, when we get back, we will talk a little baseball. I needed to get my Mets fill in, so we're going to do that. We've been talking about the Yankees and the Jays with camps opening up. There are games this weekend. Baseball spring training games, exhibition games begin this weekend, baseball fans. So you have that to make you happy, and hopefully nobody will be stealing signs. We'll get a Mets preview when we get back. Did you get your tickets yet for the roast? We're creeping closer and closer to the celebrity roast of Eric Wood. It is a week, what's today, Wednesday? Week from tomorrow, Thursday the 27th. Our location this year is Buffalo River Works. We're excited about that. Great place for the roast. If you've been there, you know how cool a place River Works is. If you haven't been there, by the way, not a bad seat in the house. You don't have to worry about when you're buying tickets whether, okay, well, the good seats have been purchased, all that stuff. Nope. So go get your tickets to make sure you're there. You can get general admission tickets right now at WGR550.com. You can also get Pella VIP tickets. There's a little nice little VIP gathering before the event with all the celebrities and the GR staffers that are there, so you get to hang out and meet all of them there before the event opens up to the full audience. Those tickets, again, are at WGR550.com. Make sure you are there for the roast, the dinner. We've got memorabilia available in an auction to benefit charities. So it's a really great night. WGR550.com. Our roast is presented by Liberty Cab, Seneca Poker inside the Seneca Niagara Casino, and by Pella Windows and Doors. With support from Bud Light, Country Sweet, it's all about the sauce. Dr. Byers Buffalo Optical and Value Vision, today's hottest eyewear at the best value, by Vera's Dry Cleaning, and by Rachel's Mediterranean Grill.
Got something to say? Say it anytime. Call, tweet, or text when you want, or hit us up with your comments on Facebook or WGR550.com. Say what you want when you want with WGR Sports Radio 550.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Meet the Mets, step right up and greet the Mets. Bring your kiddies, bring your wife.
I got to get back into regular season mode. I have to go grab the 45 out of my mom's basement.
How are the Mets looking this year?
Good.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. They're contending.
Oh, okay.
I'm feeling good about this season.
Okay, all right, yes.
Is this where we played? About a year ago, you probably did the same thing to me and said, Brayton,
make sure
we play this back.
No, this year's different, right?
I probably said to you, this year's different.
This time. I'm with you.
Wait a minute. I'm smelling a playoff berth.
I think you guys are onto something.
You are so full of crap. You are just stringing me along. But thank you for playing our game.
The young core.
They do have good young players.
And I like their manager.
The starting rotation's good. I'm telling you.
I like.
This is why we're bringing in Ed Coleman.
If the bullpen can keep it together.
There you go.
I just made all this up. Is it all right?
You hit all the right boxes.
All right, good.
So joining us on our Wester Hotline from Port St. Lucie, where the Mets are getting ready for spring training games, is Ed Coleman, WFAN Radio New York. Ed, it's Howard and Jeremy. I'm the big Mets fan. Jeremy's making fun of me. Welcome to the show.
How are you doing, guys? How are you?
I'm good, Ed. So you know what? Let me ask you. Let's start with the manager, okay? Luis Rojas. Tell me about him. What do I need to know about him as a Mets fan? Can he do the job?
Yeah, no, he can do the job. He's entirely capable of that. He's been around for a long time. I've known Luis as a coach in the system for quite some time. He knows most of the players here, certainly the ones that have come up through the system. He's had them as a coach or a manager at different times during his career. And he comes from a pretty good stock. He is the son of Felipe Alou, and he's very much like Felipe Alou, too. Kind of quiet, but he goes about his business very thoroughly, and I think everyone kind of understands where Louis is coming from. They like him personally. He's a very personable guy, but like I said, quiet, but rules with a strong fist, let's put it that way.
He's young. I mean, he has managerial experience in the minors, but he's young. Yep. Is there someone on the bench? Is there a bench coach or anybody there you think that is there to help him out?
Well, Hensley Mullins is here, Bam Bam, as he's known as a player. He's been around baseball for a long time through the Yankee system. Hensley is going to be his bench coach. I think that'll work out fine. Players like Mullins an awful lot. But, You know, one thing about Luis, he's managed in the minors, but he's also managed in the winter leagues in the Dominican as well, which is very tough to do. You talk to a lot of the Spanish players here who play winter ball, and that's a very demanding circuit over there. You got a lot of players that you have to deal with, a lot of personalities you have to deal with, a lot of owners and clubs that want to win. So Luis has been through that several times, and he's come out okay. He won a championship over there, too. So I think that helps him in that regard as well.
Jeremy was kidding me because I said I'm feeling good about the Mets. Now there are years I don't say that, but in terms of contending for a playoff spot, right, it's not crazy to say, you should feel good about where the Mets are right now in the division and at least for a wild card.
Yeah, I think, listen, a lot of, I don't pay all that much attention to the a lot of the projection services that are out there like Pacoda and that, but most of the projection services, have the big four teams, the Dodgers, the Yankees, Twins, and Astros as well, still the Astros. But the Mets are right behind. The Mets are, fifth in a lot of those projection categories. And I think, if they can kind of match their offense from last year, they had a pretty good offensive showing overall for the year, and especially in the second half. And you figure the bullpen has to be better. If that's the case, they can probably pick up a few of those games that they blew last year, and they won 86. So, there's every reason to think that they can be in the mix for a playoff spot. I think they will be.
I wanted to ask you about the bullpen because, really, that's what crushed them last year. So what are the chances? I mean, is Diaz the closer, part one? Yeah. Part two, what are the chances he bounces back and they do have a more reliable bullpen?
Diaz will be the closer. They haven't set anything in stone down here. Rojas is kind of leaving everything open and trying to expand versatility for the club and that. But Diaz is going to be a closer. I don't think there's any question. He threw yesterday, looked good. But, again, it's what are we at, February 19th now. We got a long way to go. I can't conceive that he can be as bad as he was last year. 15 ninth inning home runs, blown saves all over the place. He was atrocious, and he knows it too. But I think that he did a better job of getting himself in shape before he got here. I think he was trying to get himself in shape during spring training last year. Maybe that helped. And I think the adjustment to New York from Seattle probably was a little bit much for him as well. But I expect pretty good things from Diaz. Plus, you have Dellin Betances here as well, former Yankee who's pretty healthy. Seth Lugo, who's kind of, he had a fractured toe yesterday, but that's going to keep him out about 3 days, not 3 months. Gesellman and Familia, you got a lot of names back there and guys who have closed games, so I think it should be a much better pen this year.
Ed Coleman with us, WFAN Radio in New York. The starting rotation, Ed, the big question is, who's the odd guy out?
Yeah, it's probably going to be Michael Wacha. That would be my guess anyway, because it looks like, to me anyway, Rick Porcello can nab the fifth spot. I think that Steven Matz is going to remain in the rotation. They talked about him possibly in the bullpen. I don't really see that happening. Again, they haven't said anything at this point, and they'll work their way through camp. But it looks like Wacha probably is going to be the guy who will have to be the long man or the the spot starter, let's put it that way. So I would think he's probably going to be the odd guy out.
I didn't want to hit you with the Yoenis Cespedes question right off the bat, but we've gone long enough, Ed. So what as a Met fan, I'm not expecting anything. I mean, it's found money if this guy actually stays healthy and plays. What approach should we have with Cespedes this year?
I think that's probably the approach you have to take, because I can't even tell you he's going to be on the opening day roster. He thinks he's going to be, that's for sure, and that's probably a good sign. He looks in good shape down here. I think the thing you have to worry about Cespedes is that he hasn't played very much in the last 2 years, so that's a problem. Yeah. I think when you're trying to get back into Major League Baseball, get up to speed, do 162 games, he's not going to play all the time. I think we know that. But, he's already been on record saying he's going to play 140 games and hit 40 home runs and knock in 120. So that's great. If he can do that, Mets will be much better off for it. But I just I don't know if that's going to happen. But we'll see. You take it day by day. Like I said, I don't even know if he's going to be on the opening day roster. But he fully intends to be on this team and help them out. So we'll see.
And I want to ask you about the sale of the team as our closing question. But as you look at the projected lineup, since we just talked about Cespedes and not expecting him, you look at the projected lineup, Ed, if there is a biggest question or weak spot? Where would it be? Because there are a lot of good answers in this lineup for the first time in a while.
Yeah, I guess you'd probably have to say left field simply because you don't know who's going to be there. Is it going to be Cespedes? Is he going to be ready at the start of the season? Is it going to be J.D. Davis? I think you've got Conforto in right. You probably have Nimmo in center. Mariznick is here as a defensive replacement, the former Astro. He'll get some spot time out there. You know Alonso. Jeff McNeil will play third. Rosario and Cano are going to be up the middle, and Ramos behind the plate. So lineup-wise, I guess if there's a question, you probably have to put the question mark in left field at this point. Who's going to play there? Who's going to be ready opening day?
What is going on with the sale of the team?
Well, they're going to go to auction, so that's in the process. They're in the process of doing that now. I wouldn't be at all surprised, though, if Steve Cohen, who made a bid, circles back and gets back into things. Steve Cohen has more money than anybody, as far as I know, and he just bid $2.6 billion for it. Now, whether he'd go that high again, I'm not sure. It didn't work out the last time, obviously, because of the parameters of the deal and the Wilpons, but it's different, or supposedly going to be different this time, that there'll be no restriction or five-year waiting period. So I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Steve Cohen circle back and get back in this thing. But again, it hasn't really gone to fruition at this point, but it's getting close.
That's what I was curious about, Ed. Whether it's Steve Cohen or another prospective buyer, are you pretty confident that this time around the sale would be you take over, as soon as you get approval?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, there was thought that Cohen might be approved when the owners met just a couple of weeks ago, or I think less than 2 weeks ago. But, obviously that fell through at that time.
Yep.
It does take a process. I'm not exactly sure when they'd get around to it. You could have, the Wilpons going through this year. That's very possible. And then, somebody taking over in the offseason. But, again, that I think that's laid out at the auction and who makes a bid and, you kind of set on a time at that point in time, but I couldn't give you an exact time, but it's very possible that it could happen at some point this year.
Ed Coleman with us, WFAN Radio in New York, covers the Mets on the beat for that radio station. Ed, thanks for coming on with us this morning. Enjoy the baseball season.
All right, guys, good talking to you.
Appreciate
we'll talk
it.
To you soon.
You bet. Have a nice day. First games are this weekend. Feeling good. Got a good feeling about this team. Extendo Sports coming up just a moment. Instigators at the top of the hour on WGR.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Couple things. One, on Tom Brady from NBC Sports Boston, Tom Curran. He reports negotiations will begin in a couple of weeks. He interprets that as during or immediately after the combine, which starts next week, February 26th, and concludes March 1st. He also says if Brady goes to free agency, there would be no tour. This would not be, Reggie White tour, maybe would be the biggest famous free agent tour. If Brady goes to free agency, instead of going to visit teams, teams would be invited to come visit Brady and make pitches to him. He writes, Curran does, "My understanding is the Patriots aren't worried about other teams' financial pitches. Their business with Brady revolves around the direction of the 2020 offensive personnel. Brady getting some input on that and Brady's role in the team's future. They aren't going to be super vigilant about tampering." So that's the latest on the Tom Brady front. Perhaps a couple of weeks negotiations get going before the legal tamping period. Although, the thing about the Combine, too, at the Combine is where the illegal tampering goes on, where teams talk to agents and kind of get an idea about parameters of contracts, term, and money, and which free agents might actually be interested in signing with them. So you can come out of Indianapolis kind of having a decent idea what's going on, whether there's interest in Brady or whoever. Everybody does that stuff back channel in Indianapolis. So I'd share a mock draft with you before we go. Joe Marino was talking about this one when he was on with Bulldog, Benjamin Solak from the Draft Network. He works in trades. I give kudos to the guys who do trades. It does make it more interesting. He had Carolina trading up to 3 and getting a quarterback, and Tampa trading to 12 and 5 quarterbacks going off in the first 12, 13 picks, which I don't know if that's going to happen. But I like trades. It spices things up. He has the Bills going with an edge rusher at 22. A.J. Epinesa from Iowa says the Bills need more consistent edge pressure. No guarantee that Lawson is back. They could get it. Another big body position, big body player at defensive edge. And Epinesa would be the best edge remaining on the board. So that's it there. And then he has them taking a receiver in round 2. Brandon Ayuk, who we've talked about briefly on the show.
A little bit.
He was going to be at the Senior Bowl, but then he was injured and he wasn't able to work out down there. But Brandon Ayuk from Arizona State is the pick at 54. And he says, Ayuk brings the best of both worlds for the Josh Allen experience, deep speed and catch radius. Can his routes improve? That would be the question he has on Brandon Ayuk. That's Benjamin Solak, DraftNetwork.com, where I always say, go and play with their mock draft machine and have some fun with the mock draft, whether you use the automatic or the manual and do it yourself. It's a cool thing to play with every now and then.
Quick stat for you on the Sabres and on Carter Hutton. So last night, Hutton let in a bunch of goals. You wouldn't say they're all on him. You might say a few of them are. Anyway.
It was not a good night for him.
No, it was not a good night for him or the Sabres. They lost to Ottawa, of course. And last night I tweeted out, I was kind of kidding, but I was looking for Carter Hutton's save percentage before and after a certain event to see if there's been as big a drop-off as it feels like there's been since this one event.
2-minute warning.
And the difference is before, 917 save percentage, and after, 898.
The Housley coaching change?
The Trey White Goalie Academy.
Okay, that you could have given me clues. We could have been here till 4 in the afternoon, and I probably wouldn't have gotten it. So
the Trey White Goalie Academy was a funny joke.
It was.
And since it was created,
you know what?
Not so much.
So then what happened is Carter stopped going to the Trey White Goalie Academy.
No, I think he started going to the that's the thing.
Is he taking tips from pointers from Trey White?
He was 917, and they made this fun joke, and since then he's been 898.
Didn't Trey put on goalie pads and
stuff?
Like
he was
walking around the Bills locker room with
pads.
They
sell shirts.
And everything?
You can buy shirts.
That's right. Trey White Goalie Academy. That's his introduction now, right? So that's not good. So someone's got to call Trey and tell him to scrap the Trey White Goalie Academy.
Maybe go to a different goalie academy now.
Time to
change things up.
Last minute of play in the show.
Send him to the Dominic Hasek Goalie Academy. Hey, XFL ratings down a little bit. TV ratings were down
as
a little
expected.
Bit in week 2. Not bad, though. They still had over 2 million viewers for a couple of their, like 2.1 for one game, 2.9 for another. Week 1, the high rating week 1 was 3.3 million viewers. So it's a little bit of a drop. I think it is to be expected. And now the question is, do you keep dropping in week 3, week 4, week 5? I mean, the Lions kept dropping, and then they went out of business financially. But I think there was expected drop-off. Now, can they stabilize? Do they stay at that level? Or do we keep seeing a little bit of an erosion week after week? That remains to be seen. All right, we're back tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.